بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. As we mentioned yesterday in regards to the different branches and aspects of Sharia and Deen, Deen and Sharia is made of Imaniyat, of Aqaid and beliefs, Akhlaqiyat, character, Mu'amalat, business dealings, Mu'asharat, social interaction, and Ibadat, a worship. So these five branches of Deen, as we mentioned, we have to make islah of them. Very, very important that we reform these branches of Deen completely. Every aspect of these branches of mine are correct for me to be accepted in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We go to the mashayikh and they teach us to put our aqaid correct. Our ibadat is correct, our taharat, our ghusl, our akhlaq, how we carry ourselves out. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the highest level of akhlaq and character. مُعِثْتُ I have been sent لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخَى to complete, to be the, show the perfection of high and noble character. So my akhlaq to be correct. That I become a benefit for humanity. Not just for the Muslims, but for humanity. So akhlaq is there also. Our mashayikh teach us how to develop good character. We have akhlaq, ithar, ihsan, good character, then ihsan, to be kind to others. Ithar, somebody is bad to me, I'm still good to him. The different levels there. Then mu'amalat, when it comes to my business dealings, they also islah. This is one very, very weak point of the ummah right now. That unfortunately, when you go into business dealings, then there's no iman in there, there's no islam in there. Environment has become opposite to what Sharia teaches us. So we follow the same way, interaction, non-segregation, and the harshness of the world out there. So we fear, and if I don't act like them also, then I can't make a deal. I can't do any business. Because the hadith of Nabi alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us opposite, to be kind, to be soft, to protect oneself. Mu'asharat, social interaction with family members, etc. So to make complete islah of all these avenues. So in this kitab we'll discuss every second day, islahul mu'amalat, correction of monetary dealings, how to be correct in our monetary dealings. There's much to discuss over here, but when it comes to the levels of taqwa, as we're speaking about the month of taqwa, so the levels of taqwa in regards to earning a livelihood, how do I adopt taqwa in this now? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has affixed consumption of halal and pure food with worship. Allah has affixed and joined consumption of halal and pure food with worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, eat pure food and perform good deeds. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا Allah has joined these two things together. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is linked to what you consume. You eat halal, then the amal that will come out from your body also will be good amal. Whatever person consumes, the food he takes in, then this food now breaks down in his body, and the end result is this food turns into blood, and blood, if it's good energy, good amal. The blood is not good, then the energy also will be not good, and bad amal will come out from a person's body. So eat pure foods and perform good deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking halal sustenance is a compulsory duty on every Muslim. Seeking halal sustenance is a compulsory duty on every Muslim after other compulsory duties. That is iman and salah. Talabu kasb al-halal fariida ba'da fariida. That to earn livelihood, halal livelihood is farz upon a person. Compulsory. After all other faraiz. This hadith, now many a person quotes this, the halal kamana, halal kamai, farz hai, that I have to work. You see the hadith sharif. In Sharia, there's a tartib called al-aham fal-aham. What is most important, that you must do first. Then what is second, then what is third. So to understand the sequence of my life, what is most important right now? Al-aham. If you go opposite to the tartib and sequence, then our life will go upside down also. What is most important right now in my life, the life of my wife, the life of my children, that I have to give the most amount of time, my health, wealth, time, resources has to go into what is most important right now. If we go against the system, then we'll find This is not the physical system. The physical system of the world is governed by the spiritual world. So if I'm going to go in the opposite tarteeb, the opposite direction, then my life isn't going to go upside down. What is most important in my children's life is a ta'lim, is a tarbiyat, is a dini education. But we know the system of the world is give them 6 hours of tertiary, secular education and 2 hours of maktab. Then you see what is happening after that now. To get their taqwa, to put them on the right path, then their respect to the parents, no respect, no tarbiyat. And then we find the children are going out of hand. What happened? What was most important we didn't do. What was most important right now that we did not know. So we're going against the system. And this we know in our worldly life, in our businesses also, there's tarteeb for everything. There is tarteeb and the sequence how to do things. So my life also, what is the sequence? We look in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What is the sequence of their life? Where they gave the resources? Ulama explained there were 3 things in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, which is Quranic tarteeb also. The health, the time, and the resources, the wealth, they spend first on the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What was the command of Allah? Everything was given there. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave everything. Umar bin Khattab gave half. They vied and they competed with one another. So the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, what is the demand right now to spend in the path of Allah? They gave everything. Then on the duyuf al-Rahman, the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came into Medina Munawwara, they spent upon them. And the last avenue, what was left over now, was spent upon their families. Our tarteeb we can see is one upside down. First is my family. Ana, my family, my children, my house, my. A little bit left over from there, we'll give in the path of Allah. Let's say our lives are not coming right. And we just can't believe it, that it should be like that. Allah give us an understanding and iman. But this was the tarteeb of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But then to ulama explained that if we do 1/10, 1 ushr, 1/10 of what Sahaba ikram did, Allah will grant us success. 1/10 only. What is 1/10 we find? In our jamaat tarteeb, 30 days in the month, they say give 3 days. We get the reward of 30 days. Give that 40 days in a year, we have 360 days in a year, as if we've given the entire year in the path of Allah. So they've given us 2.5 hours a day, given the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give it, Allah will give you the reward entire day in the path of Allah. Just do 1/10 of it. Do 1/10 of it, and Allah will give us success. Sahaba ikram, if they left out 1/10, Allah would have destroyed them. They're on the highest level. This is a weak part of the ummah now. We say, just give that portion of it, 1/10. But that too we find so difficult. Now in the month of Ramadan, we give 10 days for i'tikaf. Times 3, you got the entire month. So when it comes to levels of taqwa, what we consume, they say you are what you eat. You are what you eat. And here in South Africa, we can see it. We are what we eat. What do we eat most of the time? Chicken. You can see how we chicken out. And we say to hold me back. Because we can't do anything. That's why Buddha told me that first we moor makar, then we talk. Afrikaner said first we hit, then we talk after that. The bull attacks first. The goat attacks first, then he talks after that. You see the Arab, he eats goat also. Our Pakistani brothers, they eat goat primarily, Pakistan. And you see how this time they ground. We bicharas now eating chicken, so we chicken out also. Come ibadat also, we're tired. Can't do it. We find our brothers from North Africa, mashallah, how they read their salah. They eat real food. When they come to the masjid, they go long tasbih. Jamaat went to Kenya, went to Nairobi, went to Tanzania, the month of Ramadan, 10 o'clock in the morning, went to the masjid. Masjid was packed already. Sunday morning. All the Somali brothers, Ethiopian brothers, Djibouti brothers. From 10 o'clock they're in the masjids. And that masjid was packed to capacity, all reading Quran Sharif. All reading, no place to sit over there. Sunday morning. So you are what you eat. So nowadays we can find Sahaba Ikram also, they were tough people. They ate halal, tayyib, and the food they ate also was good quality food. It was wholesome. So they had strength like that also. So we find now how they've made us now, turned us away from what the original consumption or the food of a mu'min should be. Real food, they've given us chicken now. and how they've given us, so whether those chickens are halal, whether they are, there's a grey area in regards to it, and how they're slaughtering. Oh, Hazrat recently gave the entire bayan. Or when it comes to the chicken plants, how many they're cutting in a day, in an hour, how many thousands in an hour they're cutting. Can't remember the figures now. But he says, imagine now, in an hour, how many they are, 1,000 they are cutting per hour. And on every chicken you got to say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. You sit down now in the masjid, wuzu, nobody is troubling you, and you try now in 1 hour to read 2,000 times, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, you'll get tired. You'll get tired. But the slaughterer is saying, no, I'm reading it. And not only for 1 hour, you're doing it for 3-4 hours at a time. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. You think now whether it's possible or not? Is it now mentally possible for a person now for 6-hour shift or an 8-hour shift, all day making dhikr of Allah? We'll get tired doing it. But we say, no, the chicken is halal. But from there we can gauge. No, Hazrat says, we're not saying it's haram, but you can gauge for yourself whether the commercial chickens now are halal or not. Whether he's saying so much, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat says, we forget now. We forget to read Bismillah wa Barakatillah on the platter of food in front of us. We finish it, we forgot to say Bismillah. He said, now we expect him to say Bismillah on every chicken that passes through him. As Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, if you perform salah until you become bent like a bow, if you perform salah until you become bent like a bow, and you fast so much that become thin like a gut, like an intestine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept this worship from you until such piety prevents you from haram earnings. Then Allah, you have to, that taqwa must come on you that will prevent you from haram earnings. Then Allah will accept your ibadat. We can fast so much, but there's no taqwa in you. We carry so much of salah, you become bent like a bow, but you don't have the taqwa that will prevent you from haram earnings, Allah will not accept your ibadat. Making ibadat together with consuming haram is like building a house on excrement. On stool, you built a house on that. Why don't you build a house? You built now all your ibadat on haram food, you're not going to get the benefit of it. Remember, pure food has a great impact on purifying and enlightening the heart. It is therefore of utmost importance that one abstains from haram wealth and adopts taqwa, piety. Taqwa has four levels. Do not use that which the ulama have declared as haram. Don't go near it, as using these will result in one becoming a fasiq and open sinner. They said this is haram, don't go near it. And the person testimony who consumes haram will be rejected in a shari'i court, because he's consuming haram. This is the level of piety of the average Muslim. When ulama say haram, then he's careful about it. He's careful. The second level of piety is that of the sulaha, the pious people. In this level, one abstains from doubtful things. He doesn't go near doubtful things, even though mufti is based on outward circumstances have declared them to be halal. So there's some ikhtilaf now. Some say halal, some say not halal. There's a grey area. It's doubtful. However, these items are such that there is a possibility of prohibition. It could be haram. Thus they become doubtful. The sulaha, the pious, abstain from such type of food. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, leave da' ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. That leave that which puts you in doubt for that which does not put you in doubt. If it's doubt, don't go into it. One youngster mentioned to me, Allah ta'ala save us, na'uzu billah, should have been saying it. He says, if he puts you in doubt, then try it out. Na'uzu billah. Not try it out, leave it out. He said, no, if it's doubtful, you must try. Why is doubtful? Must be something good in there. But it's not the bizarre of Sharia. He said, leave it out completely. Don't even go near it. The third level is that of the atqiya, the muttaqoon, those that have taqwa, abstinence in them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person cannot reach the rank of the muttaqoon, those that have taqwa, until he does not leave out those things in which there is no harm. He leaves it out, there's no harm, I don't have to do it. I leave it out, there's no harm for me. He doesn't go into it. For him, now it's like a nafil thing, I don't have to do it. For fear of getting engaged in those things in which there is harm. So a person cannot reach the ranks of the muttaqun, the pious ones, until he does not leave out those things in which there is no harm, for fear of getting engaged in those things in which there is harm. Sometimes he indulges in halal. Indulges in halal, too much indulgence in halal takes you to doubtful, then to haram. So even halal also, there we put a limit to it. But we know right now, in our homes and in our society, there's no limit to halal anymore now. Going right to the brink of it. When it comes to our food, it was nice and simple and plain. Now it's no more like that now. Now he's trying something different, it's about just pleasing a person's taste buds. Have to try this, have to try that. Bichara, the husband now is running from supermarket shop to shop looking for that one sauce. That one sauce I have to use, that specific one. That's in the recipe, online recipe, have to. Now this is now, they say if you don't, cannot become a muttaqi until he does not leave out those things in which there is no harm. There's no harm. We don't have to eat this dish. Doesn't leave it out, then he'll never get taqwa. What they say, we have to try it out. And we have all the comments that we have to try it out. It was divine. Divine now is something that came from the skies. Quran is divine. Malaika are divine. Now we're using the same word for food. The food was divine. It's something out of this world. Something out of this world. Hazrat says, you know the end result of this food is finally, Hazrat says, the end result of the food that we consume, no matter how divine it was, the end result is still you got to sit in that jail from which there is no bail, the toilet. You got to sit in that jail from which there is no bail. Hazrat says, the most pious person, very pure and clean, Hazrat says, even he also can't pay somebody, you go toilet for me. He has to go himself. Hazrat says, he has got to sit there also, make his faces and noises. That is the end result of all the food that you've taken in. Whatever insan touches now becomes used in second hand. It's a reality. Hazrat says, when it comes to our reality, all the ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bounties we take in, comes out as waste. So we are in reality mobile waste manufacturing machines. Mobile waste manufacturing machines. And we're carrying it all the time. So nobody can regard himself to be pure and clean, that I'm so and so. I'm so pious, oh, I'm so... We're carrying all the filth in the body, all the time it's there. Just Allah Ta'ala has covered it up. Allah has covered it up. So we have to abstain from halal to a certain degree, halal also. Together with that, now we don't make halal haram too. Then we don't do it. Yes, there's moderation in everything. Our eating, our drinking, etc. We don't have to upgrade all the time. We've got to try this, we've got to go... Nowadays, you know, in our society, that if you haven't eaten at a certain outlet or takeaway, you didn't go there still. How come? How come you didn't eat over here? You didn't eat over there? Have to go and try it out. The certain dish is nice here. Certain dish is nice there. Sometimes I ask the madrasa boys also. Over the weekend now, where's the best place you went to eat? So they say this takeaway, that takeaway. I said, shame, I feel sorry for you all, that your mother's food is not tasty. Or your wife's food. That mama made it over there, that was very tasty. I said, taste buds are gone off. Taste buds are gone off. The mama made it in the back there, that was tasty. Whether she had a haze, whether she made the istinja properly, right? Whether she clipped her nails and paired this thing, but that was very tasty. What my mother made at home wasn't so tasty. What my wife made at home wasn't. That's now and then. Now we have many places, home industries, alhamdulillah, where the housewives are making it at home. Then if we have to, now and then give the wife a break, not a problem. But to make it a cult now, where the youngsters, they're just hungry, online. Deliver. 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 They become slaves of their own passions now. It's slavery. Modern day slavery. And we tell the housewives and the mothers also, don't enslave your children to food. Don't ask a little boy, 6, 7 years old, what do you want to eat? He must eat what you make. Then you complain that no, they don't eat dal, they don't eat this, they don't eat mug. Because you asked him in the time he was 5, 6, what do you want to eat? What he'll tell you? I want to eat burger, I want pizza, I want this, I want that. The mother will make it with relish. And now when he gets big, then he doesn't eat this, doesn't want to eat that. He goes to Dawat somewhere, oh, I can't eat this. Mother is parashan now, so pack something for him. Goes to Nani's house, Nani made some simple food. Nani, you know, he won't eat that. Why? He doesn't eat this food. Check in the fridge. Now I'm going to prepare something specially for him now. Now I want fresh chips, fried chips, or whatever you call it now. And I want some sausages, and I want this. You only make for him something separate. We enslave them to food. Because of that now, I can't go for itikaf, can't go in jamaat, I can't go here, I can't go there. We're packed full of food every day. Enslaved into food now. Whereas food is a necessity. Sahaba ikram, ajib, they didn't have food in their homes. Nabi Ali salallahu alayhi wa sallam, 2 months on end, there was no cooking taking place in the house of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat. Nabi Ali salallahu alayhi wa sallam would go in the morning after Fajr, home to home, 9 homes, Azwaj al-Mutahharat. Is there any food? O Nabi Fala, there's no food. 9 houses, no food. Inni idan nasa'imun. In that case, I'll keep roza today. That case, I'll keep roza. 9 homes and no food. Today, we open the fridge, and the young boy will shout out, hey, there's nothing to eat here. What it means is so much there, you don't know what to eat, nothing to eat. Close it, order the food. Order something. How we enslave them? It's only about food. Food, food, food. What is to eat? What is there to eat? Because of the food now, salah will be delayed. Salah will be missed. It's all about eating only nowadays. This is the markaz of all the kharabi. This is the headquarters of all the kharabi and the iman getting spoiled, taqwa getting spoiled is all because of the food. That we've got to eat out, we've got to eat like this, we've got to eat like that. These are necessities of life. We've got to do it. Necessities of life have to be done according to necessity. According to necessity. So I tell the youngsters, if really now you enticed, you want to eat out of something, go in the kitchen, make one cheese toast and a cup of cappuccino, and within 5 minutes that lust of yours will be gone. It's done with now, it's over. It's just now the hype around us in the environment that you got to try this, you got to try that. And the more we're checking, the more we're checking, the more we're getting influenced also. It has become such an industry also now that we know what's happening behind the scenes. Whether the checks and balances are there, the cleanliness, the taharat, the washing of the hands, how they're preparing the food, etc. And besides, when the housewives of Syria before complained to the ulama of Syria that our children are not listening to us, disobedient, then they would tell the housewife that feed your children 100 duruds. Feed them 100 duruds. What does it mean when you're cooking? At that time, read 100 durud sharif, and blow in the food, they'll become walis of Allah. They become friends of Allah. Mother is making the food with love and muhabbat. She's cooking it, my children will eat. She's making her dhikr, she's listening to some bayan. She's blowing the food, making dua for them. Now when we bang out, we know who's behind it. Kufr, shirk. This went to the church, they're worshipping ghairullah. And now they're making the food. Our kafir was so particular, when he came to buying fruits also, in India, Pakistan, you have fruit vendors. Especially in India now, because they are Hindus there. So when they had to buy fruits also, then they buy the fruits right at the bottom, which nobody looked at. Nobody's eyes fell on it. Because they would feel the darkness of that idolater's eyes upon that fruit. They could feel it. Somebody's eyes fell on this. So they were so particular about this. So they had that level of taqwa in them. As the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, subhanAllah, the taqwa he had, concerned about halal and haram, he says that a young man, once he was traveling from Saharanpur, the author of Fazal Amal, it was an absolutely extremely hot day, very thirsty also. So he got off the train, he came onto the platform, and there was a juice vendor selling juices, etc. And he had all his writing over there in Hindi, because the Shaykh could understand Hindi writing, he knew Urdu. So he went there, took out the money, gave me something to drink. So that when there was a Hindu person, he told him, chale jao, ya sir, chale jao. He said, how? Got busy again, so he came again from the other side. Bhai, chale jao, ya sir, go from here. Went again, he took out the money, he says, bhai, give me something to drink. I'm thirsty. My mouth is dry. So he asked, chale jao. Chasing him away, the Hindu vendor is chasing the Sheikh away. He said, ajeeb, bhai. Muslim person walking past, he caught hold of him, pulled him one side. He said, don't buy from there. He says, why? He says, he's selling liquor, alcohol there, sharab. When he asked that vendor, he said, why you didn't give him anything? Although you're a Hindu, you could have just sold it to him. He said, I go see the taqwa on his face. I go see the consciousness of being a Muslim on his face. I couldn't just take his money and give him something haram. Because everything is mixed over him. Allah Ta'ala saved him from that. Today we're going headlong into it. Let's try it. And look at the taqwa of the Shaykh, Allah Ta'ala saved him. Allah Ta'ala comes between you and your own heart also. Allah Ta'ala saved him from that. So to refrain from even those halal things that won't harm me, I don't have to have it. Once you will practice this now, not going into those avenues that I don't have to partake, Allah will save you from haram. Now once you overindulge in halal, too much, then slowly that kashish and that enjoyment of halal will diminish. It will come out. Now we tried everything. Now we go into the grey areas. Now we go to the... Once now the glitter and glamour of that will come out, then we'll go into haram. Then the ummah now will go into haram. Then there's destruction after that. Then there's no obedience. The children won't listen after that. The Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, we used to leave out, the Umar said, we used to leave out 9 tenths of halal. 9 tenths of halal we used to leave out due to the fear of falling into haram. It was halal, but 9 tenths we should just abstain. Although it's halal, we don't have to go into it. Possibly we'll fall into haram. So let's be careful right now. Imam Abu Hanifa was so cautious about this. When he just heard now that there was some haram meat in the marketplace, just heard about it. They say for almost 40 days he ate no meat whatsoever. Till the entire circulation of haram came out of the marketplace. We were so careful. Lived on veggies if we have to. Here also we should be careful now. Today we see on the product, vegan or kosher. And we say, okay, this must be halal, definitely. We trust the Hindu so much, vegan. Kosher, Jew boy put their kosher, 100%. We trust them so much. But the Muslim, we don't believe him. It doesn't mean I is kosher, 100% halal. Or is virgin, is 100%. This is now, by the all of them make money. How halal it is now? One, Hazrat says, one Borana in the Orange Free State, I don't know what you call it now. Muslim person was passing by and he saw his takeaway. A big halal sign in the front, in Arabic also, the halal writing of halam, alif, lam, halal. See, middle of nowhere, halal takeaway, walks in there, belongs to a Bura, Africana. So he said, I wanted to ask him now. Bhai. He says, everything halal over here. He says, what's that? He says, got a sign outside there, halal. He said, I saw the sign in Johannesburg, I like the calligraphy. So I got someone to make the sign for me. And I really thought halal means piri piri. He says, no, it doesn't mean that. He said, but... He said, I don't know what's halal, but after I put that, my Muslim clientele just increased. Muslim clientele just increased. This is all halal? I said, Bismillah. Let's go for it. Based on these principles, some of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pious servants would only suffice on 99 dirhams when they were eligible for 100. They'll take 99, not 100. Possibly some mistake of mine there. So they would take 99 instead of 100. When they had to fulfill anyone's right, they would give extra. They would give extra. Weighing and measure, they would give extra also. Go the extra mile, do it, no problem. When claiming their right, they would take less. It's also a sunnah. One is now to give the discount is sunnah. Other sunnah now we don't know, we'll ask for discount. Allah for discount. The other sunnah also is to pay more. Sahabah Ikram is to pay more also. It's also a sunnah. We're buying something from the person on the street corner is selling some mangoes, whatever it is you're buying. Right? And now you know, cut his price. Tell your boss, take 2 for this price or 3 for that price. They make it cheaper. Whole day he's standing in the sun, you're sitting in an aircon car. Give him the 10 rand more. Make his day, the smile, the excitement on his face, I got 10 rand extra. You don't make us any more poorer. Allah will give us more barakat. But he won his heart. He says, Sulaiman, he gave me more. This you don't know might bring iman into his heart. One way of giving da'wat is that we spend on the khalq and the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Note this extra amount is not regarded as interest, since there was no condition attached when the loan was taken to pay extra. So when he's paying back the loan, is now commendable. You took a loan of 10,000 rand and you pay him back 10,500 rand. No problem now, as long as there was no precondition that I will give you extra. Out of appreciation, you could have now rolled at 10,000 and made some money with it. But he loaned it to you, interest free. But when you're repaying now, out of shukriya and thanks to him, gratitude, you gave him 100 extra also. It's halal for him. It's hadiah for him. You did make a pre-condition. But that is now commendable that you give extra. This is merely an act of kindness and favor. which one grants to another without the receiver having any claim to it, that is extra, is a gift. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi would cover his nose, subhanallah. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz, the fifth rightly guided Khalifa, he would cover his nose when musk was weighed in his presence in the Baytul Mal. He was a Khalifa of the time. The Baytul Mal now was under his trust. The National Islamic Treasury was under his control. So as a Khalifa now, you can't take any benefit from there. Can't take any benefit from there. So he was so careful, even when the musk was weighed, he would block his nose. I don't take any benefit from the scent of it too. That amount of taqwa. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when he used to walk down certain gully, then he used to get off the pavement, so to say, get onto the road, walk a little distance, come back again. That was his normal routine. Somebody asked him, Hazrat, why you do this every day? When you come to a certain person's house, he had an awning there, but why you don't take the shade of it? You walk onto the street. He said, that person has taken a loan from me. Is it permissible for me to take any benefit from a person who I have given a loan to? If you loan something to someone, then is it permissible to take any benefit from that person? Because you've loaned him something. So in a certain way now, it becomes like interest. Given him a loan, and now without his consent, I'm taking benefit. Although this was permissible to walk over there, but you're so careful now, you walk off the pavement. Don't take benefit from the owning of that person also. So here, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh. So he would cover his nose when the musk was weighed in his presence in the Baytul Mal, the public treasury. When asked regarding this, he remarked, the benefit of musk is in its fragrance. So I don't want to take benefit from it. Because it's under my trust. I can't take any benefit. So he wouldn't take benefit from the smell of it also. So to conclude this point, this is the reason for abstaining from delicious halal food and permissible forms of beautification. That soon a person will go into haram. Even halal foods, if we get too much overindulgence, we'll go into haram. Even permissible forms of beautification also, when it comes to the masturat, for them now to wear fake rings is not permissible. It has to be pure gold or pure silver. They can't be fake. Now the fake looks like real, at a quarter of the price. So they'll buy it. It's not permissible. The overindulgence also, especially for young girls, mashayikh say, don't get them used to it when they're young. Boys also, permissible beautification, this has become a fitna also. Our mashayikh, all of them had the habit. It was a tarbiyat of their children. That girls and boys, they would not allow them to grow hair till the age of 6 or 7 years old. They would shave it off completely. No keeping of hair. Today we find now, the mothers want to keep that virgin hair of the child. Only one time they cut the hair, now they leave it. And it's long over his eyes, coming till his shoulders also. That young boy, bichara, he can't even play properly, the hair is coming into his eyes. And he will grow up now with the love of his hair. More than love of sunnah, the love of the commands of Allah, and the love of the pious people will be the love of his hair, his outlook in life. That I must look smart because my mother brought me up with this love of myself. This is love for myself. So this is now, although it will be permissible form of beautification, but there's time for everything. For a man now, the beauty of the man is in his sunnah beard. The beauty of a woman now is in a sunnat plaits, a plaits, a long hair. That's her beauty. Today we find the opposite way now. For the woman to be beautiful, cut the hair. For the man now to be look smart, he must cut his beard. Completely opposite to Sharia. For a man now, his garment is getting longer, touching the ground. And for the women, it's getting shorter. It's supposed to be the other way around. They're supposed to get now longer. And I was supposed to become halfway the saq and the shin. So the entire Western culture is opposite, as it says also, istibsitabi. That even in driving to, now in the Western countries, you've got to drive on the left-hand side of the road. You say the left-hand side of the road is the right side. How is that possible? The left is right. So in our country now, if you drive on the right-hand side of the road, they'll tell you, you're driving on the wrong side. And you drive on the left side, it says right side. How is that possible? The left side is right, and the right side is wrong. That's how it is. Islamic country, you're driving on the right side, is the right side. Left side is the wrong side. So everything is opposite in their culture. But we've accepted it. So our mind thinks like this also. So the reason now for abstaining from delicious halal food and permissible forms of beautification, there is fear that once habituated, that a person becomes habitual of it, once the nafs will overpower a person, and thereafter lead to prohibited desires. The prohibition in the Quran of long fully gazing at the abundance of wealth. They don't gaze too much at their wealth also. Only checking their bank balance. He becomes happy. Oh, looks at his wealth. Oh, his cars. He loves his cars. Oh, he's browsing. What's that app? Good one, car. There's another one also now. What, we buy cars? Oh, he's checking, we buy cars. Some people in the masjid also. In Asr and Maghrib, they read me Quran Sharif. We're looking for a luck. We're looking for a luck. So the prohibition of the Quran of long fully gazing at the abundance of wealth and material belongings of the disbelievers, what they have by them. So he's checking it all the time, portfolios, this property, that car. So he's checking all the time. So Quran prohibits this. And towards their status and honor, how he's going up the ladder, how I'm going to get there also. This company, that company. It's for this reason that the beauty and lust and the luster of one's iman diminishes due to this outward glamour. Whatever you look at, when you go to arrive in the path of Allah, they teach you. Whatever you look at is giving you da'wat. Dunya is always giving you da'wat. So the more you look at it, the more the iman gets weaker. That's why you've got to negate it, la ilaha. This has no power, has no beauty. Behind everything is my Allah, is Allah, is Allah. Behind everything is Allah. Then the iman will start shining. Otherwise, the more you look at dunya, then that imani light will diminish. When the love and desire of worldly wealth and goods overtakes one, the love of iman does not remain in the heart. In short, according to we had one brother who used to go for gush for. He used to come and gush with us in the car. The entire gush time sitting in the car, he would look down only. Never look out of the window. He said, walking the path of Allah. No, that thing of dunya was attacked by heart. It was only with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, in short, according to the abstinent only that to wealth, which is halal and is presently devoid of any form of doubt and devoid of any possibility of causing harm in the future, is worthy of consumption. If there's no harm for my dunya and akhirat, then I should go into it, otherwise I should abstain and I should refrain. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Tonight is an odd night. Brothers can take a rest also, engage some ibadat, durood sharif, Quran tilawat, and get some rest for tonight, inshaAllah. Tonight is the 23rd night. كبيرات القدر الله تعالى give us those beautiful nights inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت